Okay, hello everyone. I'm Andy Wigley. I'm going to take you through this session, which is all about this guy. So, are you going to stay there? There you go. I'm going to look this way. This would be bad if you fall off. That would be terrible. Okay, there we go. Apparently they have a supply of these cute monkeys out there. So, let me tell you, who here loves C sharp? Who likes working in C sharp? Yeah, okay, and .NET? Yeah, okay, a bit more, okay. And who loves free stuff? Yeah, of course. So, right, and of course you all know that we acquired Xamarin recently and brought that tool set in as part of our offerings for developers. And I'm sure I'm probably like a lot of you in here. I'm kind of, my background is Windows Mobile and .NET, and I love that stuff. And then we got this opportunity now to use this great tool set to build apps also targeting iOS and Android. Well, I'm a mobile dev. This is interesting. I'm not a deep expert on Xamarin, so let me just get that clear. I'm kind of like you guys. I'm thinking, oh, okay, this looks interesting. Let's work out how this works. So this session is actually just a couple of slides, and then it's all demo. It's a nice example of what it is to build a cross-platform app using Xamarin and C# and .NET. So I can take you through. It's not too complicated. We've got a table out there with some real experts. There's some guys who've actually worked for Xamarin and now, of course, they're Microsoft employees. And we've got a lot of people here can answer your questions on it. So let's just say what it is we're trying to do here. So like I said, the Xamarin toolset allows you to use C# and .NET, your favorite tools, to actually build out apps that can target Windows, Android, and iOS. And really the approach for doing that is you're going to build out as much of your logic as possible using shared code libraries or portable class libraries. So you just have to implement it just the once. You're using all the libraries you love using, and you write it all once, and then you can marry that with, well, two ways of doing this. So with Xamarin, we have Xamarin Forms, which is a kind of a one-size-fits-all solution for creating a UI that will work. You write that just once. You're not going to get the real deep platform integration, the real high-definition great UI that you can get if you go native. So here, this slide showing you building out a native UI. You're still working in C#, but you're working against, you're building with the actual native controls for the platform. So after compilation, it's a true native app, and you get the true native app performance from it. You can also actually call out from, you can't do everything necessarily in the shared code library. So you're going to also want to be able to call out and implement some code that's platform specific. And in this next example I'm going to show, this demo, we're going to actually build that out and use that capability to get location information in order to show the location of where we are at the moment. Okay, so the beauty of this also is that using Visual Studio, it's easy to build this with a full UWP app targeting Windows 10 platforms, and you can marry that up with Xamarin targeting Android and iOS. All right, so let's just get the rest of it is going to be demo. So here we are in Visual Studio. I'm going to file a new project, and over here in, did we mention this was free? I think we did. Free stuff, over in cross-platform, blank app, you've got two choices. You're going to have shared libraries, where all the code is kind of block copied into any projects that reference it, or we're going to have a portable. I'm going to go a portable one. So this I'm going to call the Earth Explorer, and this is going to create ourselves this application in Visual Studio. Now what we get up here, in a solution that's built like this, is a number of projects. So we've got the portable class library. This is our business logic. We've got one library in there for the moment. And then we've also got three heads. We've got the Droid head, an iOS head, and also a bit further down, we've got, well, by default at the moment, the Xamarin project templates, they give you a Windows Phone 8.1 head. We're going to change that to a UWP app in just a moment. But let's start with that business logic. So here's myclass.cs. It's got nothing in it, so I'm actually going to get rid of that and drag in from the toolbox a point of interest class. So this guy, point of interest. And because I'm a tidy programmer, I'm going to rename my class to that as well. We got a couple of things I need to resolve in here. So let's just fix that up with control dot. Now using generic collections, we've got a task bit in there. So hopefully, yeah, we'll get this going. It's threading.tasks. And you see this class, it's got basically three properties, string name, and then it's got a latitude and a longitude. This has a method called getGlobalListAsync. So what this getGlobalListAsync, it returns to the caller, it's an async method, returns a list of point of interest, so point of interest areas, objects. We give you two straight away out of the box. We've got a Paris and a Seattle, and we've got the lat long for them. But then this is kind of interesting. What's happening here? If getCurrentPyAsync does not equal null, we add something else to the list. So what's going on here? So this is a very simple class that's kind of meant to simulate your business logic for an application. And what we've got in this class is a property with a getter and a setter on it, which is the type of that is a function that returns a task of point of interest. So it's an async method. So what we're actually going to do with this, when you obviously instantiate this class, there's nothing in that property. But what we're going to do is have the Windows, the Android, and the iOS heads inject into this class the relevant native platform code to get the current position. So this is one way of having platform-specific code built in, by no means the only way, but it's a nice, clean way of doing this. This is a pattern called inversion of control. All right, so that's my business logic. Next, we're going to do perhaps the easiest one, which is our UWP head. Now, I said down here we've got this Windows Phone 8.1. I'm just going to remove it. You could absolutely keep this in, so remove that. But instead, I'm going to add in a new project to my solution. Add a new project. And this time, I want a UWP, Universal Windows Project, blank app. And I'm going to call this earthexplorer.uwp. We choose the... Actually, I'm just going to choose the regular public releases of the SDKs at the moment. So we're going to add that solution in. So this is a full UWP app we've added into this. And I'm going to create myself, first of all, I need to add a reference to that business logic shared portable class library. So I'm going to check that, add a reference, and now we can reference the stuff that's in there. And I'm going to need some UI. So let's go off to my XAML. This is my mainpage.xaml. I've got an empty grid at the moment. And up in the toolbox, I've got the XAML for this. So let's just drop that in. And here you can see we've got a couple of grid row definitions. We've got a couple of rows. We've got a list view. Here's my list view, which has got in its site. For each of the POIs, the points of interest, we're just going to have a list which has basically just a text block with the name of it is going to be shown. But there's also an item click enable. There's a click event on that as well. So this we need to resolve my map control. So it doesn't know what that namespace my is. So let's just add that in. XMLNS my is equal to, and I need to scroll down the list. And right down the bottom here, I've got windows.ui.xaml.controls.maps. That's the one I want. So that will now resolve that. Let's go off and go to the code. So I want a little bit of code in here where we're going to call our business logic and display the POIs on the screen. So I'm just going to override the onNavigated. I can spell it right. That might help. onNavigated2 method. So here's our onNavigated2. And in here, I'm just going to need to plug in a little bit of code. So as we navigate into the page, then we are going to call. We're going to, first of all, hook up an item click event on our POI list. That's that list view. This data source, we've got a red squiggle here because this is an async method we're calling await. So I just need to add the async keyword to that method. And then we've got a couple of other, we haven't got the implementation for this click event handler, and nor have we got that move to thing. But you'll notice that what we're doing is we're calling that point of interest get global list async method that I was telling you about, and we're going to get back from our business class that static list of Paris and Seattle, and in a minute we're going to inject in the local position as well. So let's just add in those missing methods first. So here's my UWP events, plug that in. Okay, that's good. We've got our item click. It basically says whenever we click on an item in the list, we're going to move to it. And the move to, just need to resolve this guy. windowsdevices.geolocation. We're going to get a basic geoposition from the latitude and longitude of the item, and then basically going to set the map to show that location. So let's run that straight away on our local machine as we are at the minute. So I need to select UWP as being the project. Run it on local machine. UWP app, of course, would run on other... Ooh, what have we got there? Something not quite right. Oh, I think maybe, let's just try again. I think maybe that was just no. Right, okay. Rebuild. It's not playing for me this morning, this afternoon now. Huh. What's going on here? Maybe what I should do is retarget. Let's go up to the newest one. See whether that resolves that. Rebuild. It's not playing. Oh my goodness! All right, I've got a bit of a problem here, which is a problem when you're a demo-rich session. Just going to clear out the stuff. I'm going to try a rebuild, and if that doesn't work, I have one. You won't be surprised to know that I prepared earlier. Ah, man. Okay. Let's just go off and... I'll come back to this in a minute. So we're going to go off to Documents, Visual Studio, Projects. That's the one I was just doing. Let's go back to this guy, one I did earlier. And we'll try this guy. So let's select up here the x86, the UWP. Try and run that on the local machine. Yes, so we're going to run that. And here's it running on UWP. We'll go back to the other solution and build out the others. What we've got in here is we've got Paris and Seattle that came from directly from the business class, but we've got another one here, which is just where I am, and I'll show you the code for that in just one moment. And of course, that takes us to our current location. We can go off to Seattle, and nice navigations on the map, and that's all just working out just great. So let's have a look at the code we did to from where we were when it failed on me in the other project. Here we go, down here. Into mainpage.xaml.cs, and I had got in already, I had added in these guys, but what I hadn't done was inject into it this here. So this is the bit of code I would have then gone on to do, which is to add into, this is, you remember our point of interest, get current POI async, that's this guy up here. You'll see that, you know, this had that this public static function in here, which allowed us to inject. That's exactly what we're doing here. We're injecting and we're setting that property to an async function. And this is the implementation. So that method is kind of getting plugged into our business layer, where we get ourselves a joint point of interest. We get ourselves a UWP geolocator object. We get our current position. And then having got our position, we can new up. We've got this current POI, which is a point of interest object. We've set its name, latitude and longitude, and return that to the caller. So that actually then gets injected into this function. And now when we call this method, get global list async, this will not be null, and we'll add that just our current position in. So that's the same pattern we're going to do on the other ones. Now I'm going to be a hostage to fortune here. I'm going to go back to the one that failed. But we're going to switch and see if we can get the Android one. So let's set that as the starting project. So let's have a look now at how we do the Android bit. So very quick brief introduction to Android layout. So over here in the layout, I've got a main.axml. I can open that up here in Visual Studio, and we can do our design right in here. And now when you're working with both Android and, in fact, iOS layout, it's a really good idea to get the document outline window up. Now, by default, when you create a new project for Xamarin, you get this Hello World Click Me button on it. I don't actually want that. I'm going to just remove it. So delete that out. And then let's drag onto the UI. We want to have a list view control. So pop that onto my UI. We just take the defaults on it. You see there in the document outline, we've got our list view one. So that's really cool. So that's all the UI I'm going to do. We're going to keep this a bit simpler. Incidentally, you go to the source for the Android layout, and you can see, actually, it's all this XML. Looks a bit kind of not that dissimilar from XAML, but it is quite different. This is the native format for defining an Android UI. All right, so let's get the code plugged in for this. Go to mainactivity.cs, and the first thing I'm going to do is get rid of the code that relates to that button that we just removed. So that's taken that out. And then we're going to add in the data source stuff for the Android one. Drop that in. So what we're doing now is we're getting a reference to our list view in our UI. Now, you can't, as in UWP, you can name controls in your XAML and just reference them directly from your code. You can't do that. In Android, you have to use a more web sort of model. You actually go and find by ID within the views. So this is what this is doing. We're getting a reference to our list view control. We're hooking up an item click event. And we are then also setting a data source object, which I need to define, in fact. So data source, again, we've got an await here, so let's fix that first, async. There we go. That gets rid of that. We need to add the reference for, we're going to add a point of interest in here. Weirdly, this is not picking up the shared project. This is going horribly wrong. So references in here. Where's our Earth Explorer? Why are you not resolving? Using Earth Explorer. Come on, what's going on? The demo gods are really not with me today. So right, let's just remove this Earth Explorer and add it in again. Add reference to our business logic. Okay, Earth Explorer. This is disappointing. So unfortunately, I'm struggling to get this guy to resolve. What is this guy? In the point of interest, we are in the namespace of Earth Explorer, so it should just find it. Let's just do a build and see if it just manages to figure that out. All right. Sorry, this is really not working out. I'm going to actually start over. No, I haven't really got time for that. Let's go back to the one that works already. So the Earth Explorer for the droid, I already did the layout bit of it. And then over in main activity, we plug in to this. Where I was trying to get that working is in the onCreate, we get our list view. We hook up an item click event. And then we also need, in a droid application, you need to have a view model. And we have this POI adapter object that I've added to the solution. And here, this POI adapter is a collection class. So it has all the kind of things for a typical collection class. And it is a collection of point of interest objects. So it has methods like this, an indexer in to get the point of interest out of the collection. You can get the count from that. And you can get a particular item at a position. So this is just a kind of plumbing class that we use in order to implement to the data source for our list view control in the Android one. So we set up our list view adapter pointing at a new instance of that POI adapter. And in order to get the data into it, again, we call our point of interest get current POI async method. And we, again, inject into that get current POI async the current POI. And when we call get global list async, hopefully that will have been plugged in. Now, what actually is going on here is kind of interesting. So with an Android app, we haven't got a sort of async get, we haven't got a geolocator class and say just get current position. It's slightly different. What you actually have to do with an Android client is you implement an interface called iLocationListener. So iLocationListener basically has an on-location changed, and the system will listen for your location, and when it's got an update for you, it will call your on-location change. But you can't just kind of query for it. You've got to wait for it to come. So what we are doing is we're knitting our location manager. Here we are. We get the system service for the location manager system service. We say, I want fine accuracy on that for getting the location. We got set some acceptable location providers, which is setting, okay, I want fine, so it's going to choose the kind of location engine like GPS to get our position. If we have one, then we are requesting location updates from our location provider. And when it does give us a location update, it will call this. So our logic, what we're doing is we have a manual reset event, which is just waiting for that to happen. And when that actually, we do get a location, it will set that manual reset event. And then back in our logic, we are waiting on that being set. So this will just wait, it will block effectively, but it does it in an async method. So it's it won't actually freeze your UI, but this code will wait until we've got a position and then plug it into our business class. So all right, let's just give that a go. And this is going to be any CPU. We're going to select the Droid project for that. I'm going to try and run it on this Android emulator. And let's pull that up here. Okay, it's already up. So we got, obviously, Paris. Now, the other thing that this does is when we actually click on an item in this list, we're actually not using an embedded map control like we did with the UWP. We're actually using intents to ask the system to launch a built-in map provider. So it will launch Google Maps. So it will start that activity. It's kind of like a protocol launch in UWP land. So over here now, I can say, OK, let's go and launch into Google Maps to go to Seattle. There we go. And we can go back. We can go to Paris. And we could go to OK, that will load Paris in a minute. And I just need to set the location on here. So we're going to go to London in the emulator. There we go. And so we can go back, and we can go to exactly here, and it should launch in, and should in a time when it actually starts, it finally loads in the map. That will show us London. Yeah, man, we're not having a lot of success there. All right, now because I'm still a hostage to fortune, I'm going to see if the iOS one will work on the other one, having failed dismally with those so far. Now. Okay, the iOS is kind of interesting as well. It's rather similar, in fact, to the Android one. But a couple of interesting things to call out. We've got a main storyboard here. So this is, we've got over there down the desk, we've got a Mac. And we are connected to the Mac. You see this nice green icon up here shows that we are connected to a Mac. And we can work directly on our storyboard editing right here in Visual Studio. So again, we got our button, Hello World, Click Me. I'm going to go into the document outline. I'm going to expand this out. And there's our button, which I don't want. So let's just delete that. And then I want to actually build out my UI for this application. So the first thing I want to do is get a, let's find a map view. Here we go, here's a map view. Drop that down onto my UI. I'm just going to resize it a little bit out to the borders so it's nicely. You notice this is a square UI. So this is in iOS, this is your way of making sure that your UI will work on any size and orientation screen. So there's our map view. I also want from the toolbox, I'm going to, and these are native UI controls, native iOS controls. And I want a table view as well. There's my table view. Let's pop that up the top. Now, by default, in a table view, we actually get three table view cells. I don't want them. So let's just delete those guys. And then we can do a little bit of just resize this a little bit. Resize it out so that we can align it with that and align it with, align it with this guy. And then I'm going to add some constraints, UI layout constraints. So we're going to just attach the sides to each side of the page, and this one down to the bottom, and this guy up to the top of the page, actually. And this one also goes to the left, to the top, and to the right, but it will be attached to the top of our map view control. And the last thing I need to do is just add a couple of names on this. So I need to have this as my table so that we can refer to them in code. My table. And this one will be my map. Okay, so that's my UI rudimentary design doing. So let's switch to the code now. We go over to the view controller. viewcontroller.cs here. And here again in our view did load, we've got some code here that's to do with our button. So I'm not interested in that. So we're going to add our initialization code to this. So over here, I've got a bit of init code in here. That didn't look right. Sorry, right, okay. Let me add, first of all, a table source into this. I'm going to add a new class. And this is going to be just a basic class, and it's going to be called table source. So this is going to be how we supply the data to our table view. So get rid of this guy. We're going to drag in from the toolbox. Here's that iOS table source. So this is all code to implement this class. We've got a couple of things to resolve. So let's just do that using UI kit, using point of interest. So that's our business logic using Earth Explorer. Ah, what is going on with this? There's something wrong with my business. Can anybody see what's wrong with this guy? So for some reason, public class point of interest. Something that's never happened to me before when I've done this. This is the last show of the tour, so this is frustrating for me, and I'm sure for you guys as well. Can't see what on earth has gone wrong here. Okay, that's just because I've still got some stuff in here. I'm probably going to have to give in and go to the completed solution again, unfortunately. Right, okay, I'm not going to persevere with this anymore. So let's go back to the one that actually works. I apologize for that. So continuing the story for the iOS development, we just created our table source, and back in our view controller, then in here we have a bunch of code that implements basically the same logic flow that we had before. Here's the use of our new table source. And we're awaiting our point of interest get global list async from our business logic again. We're hooking up an on-click event. So this is all, you know, if you're used to working with C# and .NET, you'll be comfortable working with this, even though this is an app for iOS. We are then loading that data into our table. And then we also need to get our current location. So the way we do that is somewhat similar to how we did it before. We actually have in our data a location manager, see location manager. And here we are initializing it. We're newing it up. We ask for permission to get our location. Then we set our desired accuracy for position. We hook up an event handler for when we get some location data. And then we actually ask the location manager, OK, start giving us location information. So, and then we do the same thing. We await on this manual reset event because we are waiting in here, but it's an async method, so it's non-blocking to the UI thread. But we're going to wait until this happens, until the system comes back and says, OK, I've got your position, at which point that manual reset event gets set. And this will then complete and plug back into here the value, the actual point of interest for our current location. So, then we call the get global list, and away we go, and we should be good. So let's give that one a go. I need to select our iOS iPhone simulator. So this is brand new as well. We showed this for the first time at Build. This is a simulator that it's kind of remote back to your Windows machine. So let's just run that. It says it needs to be rebuilt. Yeah, okay, that's what I want you to do. Let's rebuild it because of an inconsistency. All right, so here's our iPhone simulator. And actually, while we're waiting for it, I'm just going to set a location on it. So it's rebuilt. And now let's just try and deploy it up to our simulator. And it's coming up. And similarly, we get our map. We can go off to Paris, and we can go off to Seattle. And of course, we can go to wherever exactly here happens to be, which is somewhere in Cupertino. In fact, there's not many options for setting location in the simulator. This simulator is brand new. It is alpha software. You need to be on the alpha or beta releases of the Xamarin tools in order to make use of it. But with this, because this is touch sensitive, and I showed you before and this morning in the keynote, you know, you can now do your entire development of your cross-platform apps right from your Windows machine. So I apologize for the gremlins there. I don't quite know what was going on with that project. That was disappointing, to say the least. But so there we have it. UWP, Xamarin, you can now build all the cross-platform apps using our tools. That's it. Thanks very much. I hope that's of interest to you.